Welcome friends to Literature Mantra, I'm Harsh Singh.
Now another important issue when we read about comparative literature is what is the difference between comparative literature and world literature? First of all, is comparative literature and world literature the same? No, the answer is no, they are not the same. See, originally the term world literature was used by Goethe, okay, Goethe, the great German philosopher Goethe, G-O-E-T-H-E, and his complete name is Wolfgang von Goethe. And he was not just a philosopher, he was mostly known as a poet, as a novelist, as a playwright, a statesman. So originally this term was used by Goethe to mean that literature which is of all nations and peoples and which by a reciprocal exchange of ideas mediates between nations and helps to enrich the spirit of man. And Goethe doesn't desire the special characteristics of each nation's writings to be erased, but merely to be situated within a larger scheme where its connections with other literatures can be explored to the common benefit of all human beings. So this is what Goethe meant when he used the term world literature. Now after Goethe, it is interesting to see what Rabindranath Tagore of India had to say on world literature. There is an essay by Rabindranath Tagore called Vishwa Sahitya. Okay, Vishwa Sahitya. And I'll just read out one paragraph in which he explains in very simple terms what he actually means by world literature. Quote, All I have wanted to say is that just as the world is not merely the sum of your plough field plus my plough field plus his plough field, because to know the world that way is only to know it with a yokel, like parochialism. Similarly, world literature is not merely the sum of your writings plus my writings plus his writings. We generally see literature in this limited provincial manner. To free oneself of that regional narrowness and resolve to see the universal being in world literature, to apprehend such totality in every writer's work and to see its interconnectedness with every man's attempt at self-expression. That is the objective we need to pledge ourselves to. Unquote. This is what Rabindranath Tagore had to say about world literature. But it is interesting to note that, you know, Tagore now translates Vishwa Sahitya as comparative literature. This entire extract that I read out is part of the essay called Vishwa Sahitya. But Tagore translates that as comparative literature, not as world literature. This is the difference between, you know, Goethe's point of view with respect to world literature and Rabindranath Tagore's point of view, because he ultimately is going to translate this as comparative literature. Now, after that, there is a famous work by David Damrosch called What is World Literature? Okay, in which, you know, he talks about various literary works from around the world, and broadly the point that he wants to argue is that world literature is an elliptical refraction, okay, an elliptical refraction of national literatures which as they circulate among other cultures retain only some marks of their national origin and gain other qualities in the receiving cultures. Means when national literature crosses the national boundaries and goes around the world. And Damrosch says that certain translated works can actually gain in translation. And he also gives the example of certain works, for example, the Epic of Gilgamesh. Okay, the Epic of Gilgamesh or James Joyce's Dubliners. Okay, Dubliners, which, you know, Damrosch says that they have achieved an increased depth as their range of world circulation is extended, and not only can certain stylistic features such as epic qualities or attributes of realism continue to be examined, but the texts can be situated in a far richer context among other texts sharing such qualities, thereby actually heightening the creative and interpretive elements in reading. And translation has an important and mediating role in world literature. We will talk about translation later. And finally, for David Damrosch, world literature is not just a canon of texts. Means, you know, just by picking texts from this country, that doesn't mean world literature. It's not just a canon of texts, but a mode of reading. It is a mode of reading. A mode of reading in a detached manner, engaging with a world beyond our own. And we encounter the work not in its home culture, but in a different field of force, one generated by diversity of culture and era. So when you read anything about world literature, even, you know, when you just refer to it in the context of reading comparative literature, do make sure that you take into account the opinions of these three writers, Goethe, then Rabindranath Tagore, after that David Damrosch. So, as a small recap, just remember that the word Weltliteratur, okay, this is the German word which Goethe uses. Basically, the spelling is Weltliteratur, okay, Weltliteratur. Basically, what it means is world literature. After that, Tagore translated Vishwa Sahitya as comparative literature and not world literature. And David Damrosch says that world literature is not just a canon of texts, but a mode of reading. Now, after this, you should know the names of important scholars and their works in the field of comparative literature and also world literature. For instance, the work called Comparative Literature by H.M. Posnet. Okay, H.M. Posnet, his work called Comparative Literature. He is basically an Irish scholar. After that, Comparative Literature, A Critical Introduction. Okay, this is a work by Susan Bassnett. Okay, Susan Bassnett. After that, as I said, David Damrosch, his work called What is World Literature? After that, you know, some Indian writers, for example, Ameya Dev and Shishir Kumar Das. Okay, Ameya Dev and Shishir Kumar Das, their work called Comparative Literature, Theory and Practice. Okay, Comparative Literature, Theory and Practice. And after that, one more you should know. It is a work by Rini Wallach. Okay, Rini Wallach. It is called The Crisis of Comparative Literature. Okay, The Crisis of Comparative Literature. And from an exam point of view, it is important to memorize these works because they can directly ask you the names of these authors and works. These are important authors and works. Now, another important issue when we study comparative literature is the role of translation. Because see, if you want to compare two different works, let's say two different literary works which are written in two different languages, for example, in Marathi and Hindi, let's say Tamil and Malayalam, you need to translate at least one of the works in the second language so that one person can study it and draw some conclusions when doing a comparative study. Let's say both works should be translated to English, when that is a common language, a language which many Indians know. It becomes easier when something is in English. Therefore, translation and translation studies, the discipline of translation studies, becomes very important when we do comparative studies in Indian literature. Now, translation can take place by a translator. For example, the International Booker Award, which was given to Gitanjali Shree's Tomb of Sand, right, in 2022, was originally written in Hindi, but later on translated in English by a foreign translator. But in India, there have been many examples where Indian authors, let's say, write in regional languages, but they themselves translate it in English. For example, take the case of Rabindranath Tagore. His famous work is Gitanjali. It was written in Bengali, but Rabindranath Tagore himself translated it in English. Then another example can be the novel Samskara by U.R. Anantamurthy. This was written in Kannada, but later on translated into English by A.K. Ramanujan. And as I said, that translation of Indian literature by Western scholars means foreigners. For example, you know, take the case of the work called Gita Govinda. Okay, Gita Govinda. This work has been translated by at least seven significant English translators. Or let's say there are seven significant English translations of this work. For example, one of it is by William Jones, then Edwin Arnold, after that George Keats, after that Lakshmi Narayan Shastri, then Monica Verma, then Barbara Miller, then Duncan Greenlidge. All of these are translators which have translated Gita Govinda, the work Gita Govinda, which is an Indian work. So translation and translation studies becomes important even in comparative literature or even in comparative studies in Indian literature.